If you have just tuned in, you are now listening to Worth Baptist Hour, a weekly broadcast of the gospel. This radio ministry is produced by Worth Baptist Church, and this is the pastor speaking. We count it a joy again on this Lord's Day to greet you in the lovely name of the Lord Jesus Christ. It's a good day to worship the Lord. It is Mother's Day, and I'm sure that all over America, men will be honoring their mothers by worshiping the Lord today. We believe in Mother's God. We believe that God answers prayer. And I believe the best way that you and I can honor mother and motherhood is to be in God's house today. We give you a cordial invitation to come and visit with us here at Worth Baptist Church. Our Sunday school begins at 10 o'clock. We have a class for every member of your family, for every age and every grade level. The textbook of our Sunday school is the Bible, the Word of God. We are currently in a series of lessons in the book of Acts, and we would be happy to have you and your family and your friends and neighbors to come and study the Word of God with us in the 10 o'clock Sunday school hour today. Our Sunday morning worship service begins at 11, and our Sunday evening worship hour at 7. In the Sunday evening worship hour, I will be continuing in the series of messages under the title, 1975 in Prophecy. My message tonight will be, the end of the world, the end, the collapse, the final end of this world system that comes before us tonight. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 18, the end of the world, I'd like for you to be here and hear that message. I'd like for you to know some of the things that are happening in 1975 that point to the collapse of this world system. Invite your friends and your neighbors. Bring the whole family. Let's have a great time in the 7 o'clock worship hour when the message will be the end of the world. One of the messages in the continuing series of messages, 1975 in Prophecy. Then there's this special announcement that we want to make concerning our World Baptist Fellowship meeting, which convenes this week, beginning on Tuesday at 9:30 a.m. in the gymnasium on the campus of the Arlington Baptist College and the Bible Baptist Seminary. This annual session of the World Baptist Fellowship promises to be the greatest in our history. The meeting will continue through Thursday night, which is commencement night for the graduates of the Arlington Baptist College. So during the 3 days, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday, getting underway at 9:30 each morning in the gymnasium of the Arlington Baptist College, we invite you to come and bring your friends to this great meeting. That's the annual meeting of the World Baptist Fellowship, meeting on Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week on the campus of Arlington Baptist College. And then we would like to hear from you here at Worth Baptist Church by mail this week. All of the messages on Worth Baptist Hour are being placed on cassette tapes. In fact, all the messages preached at Worth Baptist Church are on these tapes. We have a complete set of tapes of the messages on the Revelation, for example. The message tonight will be the 15th in this series. So we already have 7 tapes with 2 messages each on the book of the Revelation under the title 1975 in Prophecy. Perhaps you'd like these tapes. We invite you to write this week and discover how you can receive these tapes. Remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. Write today. Let us know that you hear this broadcast and that it's a blessing to your heart. Many people across the Metroplex have told us, either by word of mouth or by letter, that they enjoy this ministry and these messages. We would like to hear from you this week. Again, remember our mailing address, Worth Baptist Hour, Post Office Box 15141, Fort Worth, Texas. And now to my message on today's broadcast entitled, A Final Notice. I'm going to read from the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. But before I read the scripture, I want you to pause with me in a moment of prayer. Let us pray. Our Father, we are grateful today for the book of the Revelation. We thank Thee that Thou hast spoken through Thy Word in the long ago, and that Thy message is just as new and fresh and relevant today as it was almost 2,000 years ago when John stood on the Isle of Patmos to write. So help us to receive Thy Word today in our own hearts, in the churches across this city. As we approach the summer season, we pray, Heavenly Father, that the city of Fort Worth might experience a revival, this city of churches and churchmen. May it be a spiritual renewal, a time of spiritual awakening during the days of the summer. In these remaining days of this month, we pray, Heavenly Father, that the Holy Spirit might move in the hearts of the people of this area. And may many people come to know Christ, and may hearts be stirred, and may men be ready for the return of the Lord Jesus Christ. Bless our nation today. Bless those refugees who are coming to our shores. Give to our President and our Congress the wisdom to deal with these matters and the way to handle these problems that arise. And may the hearts and homes and lives of Americans be touched by these things. Now, Father, bless this broadcast to the honor and glory of Christ is our prayer in His name and for His sake and with thanksgiving. Amen. In the book of the Revelation, chapter 3, at verse 14, we read, And unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write, These things saith the Amen, the faithful and true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would that thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. Because thou sayest, I am rich, and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched, and miserable, and poor, and blind, and naked, I counsel thee to buy of me gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice, and open the door, I will come in to him and sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame, and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith to the churches. A final notice. This final notice comes in the form of a letter from heaven. Isn't it a wonderful thing to know that God is concerned about what's going on here on earth? Isn't it a good thing to know that God is concerned about your life and your family and your home and your job and your church and your nation and your community today? Yes, heaven is concerned. God is interested. The Lord Jesus Christ cares very much what will happen to you today. In this letter from heaven, a final notice to the church at Laodicea, there are things that we can gather for our own day. There are three things in particular that I would have you note in this message, a final notice. Number one, to whom is it written? Number two, who is it from? And number three, what does it say? Now, to whom is this letter written? Well, John is instructed to write to the pastor, the messenger, revealed here as the angel of the church of the Laodiceans. So the message clearly is written to the church at Laodicea. Laodicea was one of the churches, the seven churches of Asia Minor. These were seven literal, actual bodies of believers. And yet we see them as symbolic of the church age. We believe then that the Laodicean church is the church that characterizes our day, the final and closing days of the church age. So to every church, as it were, in this hour and in this age, God is writing a letter from heaven, a final notice on what to do. The second question can be answered very quickly and very simply. Who is it from? This letter from heaven comes directly from the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember John received the revelation of Jesus Christ on the Isle of Patmos. So the letter is from Christ. John describes him as the Amen, that is the truth. He describes him as the faithful and true witness. As the beginning of the creation, he's the Alpha and Omega. He's the light of the world. He's the true vine. He's the bread of life. He's the beginning and the end, the rose of Sharon, the lily of the valley, the fairest of 10,000 to my soul. He's the Savior of the world. He's Israel's King. He's Lord and Master. He's possessor of heaven and earth. He's everything that we need today. Jesus Christ, past, present, and future, God in the flesh, the God-man and the man-God. It was from Jesus Christ, this letter from heaven. That makes it all the more important. If you were to receive a letter today, for example, from the President of the United States of America, you would cherish it because of the person who wrote it. How much more should we cherish this letter? Because in this final notice, a letter comes from Jesus Christ. The third question. What does it say? A letter must be judged by its content. What does this letter say? Well, Jesus says, first of all, I know you. I know your works. I know your spiritual condition. Now, my friend, the people who work with you, the people with whom you live, they see only the outside, the kind of clothes you wear, the way you comb your hair, the things that you do. The Bible says in 1 Samuel 16:7, man looketh on the outward appearance, but God looketh on the heart. God knows your heart this moment. He knows what you're thinking about. He knows what you're planning today and tomorrow. He knows the spiritual condition of your heart from beginning to end. He knows the rebellion, the lust, the greed, the selfishness, the unclean desires that are there. He knows if your heart is breaking today. He knows the trials, the burdens, the problems that characterize your spiritual condition, and your life in this hour. God knows where you live, your house number, your telephone number, your zip code number, your area code number, your employment number, your social security number. Why, he even knows the number of the hairs on your head. There's nothing about you that God does not know. Even as Jesus Christ said to the church at Laodicea, he is saying to you individually and personally, I know you. He's saying, I know about your boasting. Oh, we have so much that we think we can boast of in America today. But the truth of the matter is this, there is no place for boasting. Paul said, if we must boast, may our boasting be in Christ Jesus. The church at Laodicea thought they were rich. They were prosperous. They thought they had everything and needed nothing. But Jesus Christ issues a strong indictment against them when he says, you are wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked. And you know, my friend, Jesus Christ sees those same things in us today. Oh, we have money and we have clothes and we have food. We have cars and we have jobs and homes and all of this. But spiritually, we are wretched, miserable, blind, and naked. And we have nothing to brag about. Jesus said further, I know what you need. And I want what's best for you. My friend, did you know that Jesus Christ knows exactly what you need today? And he wants the very best for you. Why, he died to provide it. He lives on high to make certain that you have the very best. He says, you ought to have my gold, and you ought to have my clothes, and you ought to have my eye salve that you might be able to see properly. You see, the gold of which Jesus speaks is the purity of God and the purity of God's righteousness. The clothes are garments of righteousness, and the eye salve is the Holy Spirit to anoint your eyes, your spiritual vision. Yes, Jesus Christ knows what you need, and He wants the very best for you in this hour. And you know, Jesus Christ loves you. That's what He said to the church at Laodicea, a church that was neither hot nor cold, lukewarm, that gave Him divine nausea, a church that He declared He would spew out of His mouth. Yet Jesus Christ said, I love you, and because I love you, I want to chasten you. You know, when the parent, the true parent, the loving parent, chastens the child, it's because he loves the child. And Jesus Christ said, as many as I love, I chasten and I rebuke. And that's what He's doing to you by this message today. Jesus Christ is chastening you. He's rebuking you because He loves you. Jesus said, I counsel you to do the right thing. I counsel you to repent. I counsel you to be zealous, to be on fire, to be hot for Christ. I counsel you, Jesus said, to hear my words. Notice Jesus did not say, I force you. I'm going to make you. Oh, no. Jesus Christ is not going to knock down the door into your heart. He's not going to force Himself on you. He wants to counsel you. He said, I counsel you. I advise you to repent. Out of the seven churches of Asia Minor, all of which Jesus wrote, five of them are counseled to repent. In this age and in this hour of the Laodicean church, when churchmen are neither hot nor cold but lukewarm, some of you today are just as lukewarm as you can possibly be. And you know what? You're making God sick to His stomach. God wants you hot or He wants you cold. Because if you're cold, you'll go to the fire. If you're hot, you'll go to where it's cool. If you're lukewarm, you're just contented and satisfied. So the lukewarmness in the church of this hour is disturbing and distasteful to God. In fact, to put it bluntly, it causes Him vomiting, spiritual, divine nausea, and yet He loves you in spite of it. He loves you in spite of your sin, in spite of all of your difficulties and all of your problems and all of your rebellion. Jesus Christ loves you, and He wants the best for you in this hour. Notice what else Jesus said. I want to come into your heart. Isn't that a remarkable thing? Today, Jesus Christ wants to come into your heart. He wants to be your Savior, your Lord, your Master. He wants to take the reins of your life. He wants to make you prosperous and happy and victorious. And He alone can do it. If you'll let Him in your heart, He'll save you. He'll redeem you. He'll pardon you. He will forgive you. He'll take away all of your sin and all of your greed and all of your lust. He will supplant your lust with love and your meanness with mercy. He'll give you a new home in heaven. He'll make you what you ought to be if you'll just trust Him in this hour and let Him in your heart. Jesus said, I want to fellowship with you. My friend, the only way you can have fellowship with Christ is to walk in the light. In 1 John chapter 1, we read, God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say we have fellowship with Him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of His Son cleanseth us from all sin. Jesus Christ wants to fellowship with you. Whatever your problem, whatever your sin, whatever your shortcoming, Christ wants to fellowship with you today. He says, I want you to overcome. I want you to be triumphant, victorious. Jesus said, I want you to be an overcomer, even as I am. I have overcome the world, Jesus said, and you can too. Jesus says, finally, I want you to be with me and share my throne, even as I share the throne with the Father in heaven. What a wonderful thing that Jesus Christ wants you to sit down with Him on His throne and share with Him in His majesty and might and power and glory and wealth and honor. This is what Christ is saying to you individually. Notice he said in verse 20, "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man," that means you, you individually, you personally, you with all of your trials, you with all of your heartaches, you with all of your lust and sin, I want you to sit down with me in heaven. That's what Christ wants for you in this hour. I have this footnote and I shall be through. Jesus is standing at the door of your heart today, and you do not well to turn Him away. He's knocked before. He's knocking once again. He may never knock anymore. Holman Hunt's picture of Christ standing at the door is a masterpiece. One of his critics, when he first saw it, said, "But Mr. Hunt, you've made a terrible mistake." "Mistake? What do you mean?" replied Mr. Hunt. "Well," said the friend, "you did not put a latch on the door." To which Mr. Hunt replied, "My friend, the latch is on the inside, and only you can open the door." How true it is. Christ is standing there. He wants to come in. He will come in if you'll open the door. If any man will open the door, I will come in to him and fellowship with him and he with me. That experience, that joy can be yours now if you'll just open the door of your heart and let Jesus Christ come in. As we close the broadcast today, may I remind you again of the special announcement, the annual meeting of the World Baptist Fellowship, convening Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday of this week, with the services in the gymnasium on the campus of Arlington Baptist College, 3001 West Division in Arlington, Texas. Everybody's invited. And then let me remind you once again of our services here this evening. My message from the series of messages 1975 in prophecy is entitled, "The End of the World." I want you to hear it. I want you to be a part of this great service. Come and bring your neighbors and bring your friends and bring the family. Bring your Bible. Let's have a great hour through the day. The Sunday school hour at 10 o'clock. The morning worship hour at 11. And the evening worship hour at 7. Today at Worth Baptist Church, 3309 Wilbarger Street in Fort Worth. Until next Lord's Day at this same time by radio, we wish you well. And the blessings of God upon your life, upon your family, and upon your home. And as always, we admonish you to keep on praying.